I want to share today on reaching our inheritance. There's going to be a series from different ones who are preaching on our inheritance. And I tell you what an incredible series it's going to be. I believe that this is in the timing of God. I believe that this is time to walk into our inheritance. Ephesians 1:11, it says, "In Christ we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will." All things. Do you hear me, church? All things. Leah's death, all things. Even if you fall asleep, God works all things together for good. He works all things according to the counsel of his will. In Christ, we have, big capital letters, have obtained an inheritance. Have obtained. We're not waiting for an inheritance. We have already an inheritance. I'm not waiting for mine. Maybe some of you are waiting for your inheritance in the sky by and by, but I have my inheritance now. And I'm going to walk in my inheritance. We should be walking in, speaking in the authority of our inheritance, the authority of our birthright, living in the authority of the dominion of God, because he gives us rule and reign with him now. Not to come, not I'm going to reign with him someday. He said, I will rule and reign with him now. He gives me authority over principalities and powers and wickedness in high places now. Not to come, now. Colossians 3, 23-24 says, whatever you do, do it from the heart, as something done for the Lord and not for people, knowing that you will receive the reward of an inheritance from the Lord. You are serving the Lord Jesus Christ, not people. You are serving the people through the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you are looking for praise and accolades from people and looking for the praise of people, you will continually be hurt and broken and wounded and offended. I'm telling you, church, I'm telling you, family of the Rock, I'm telling you, people, you gotta get above that. You will continually be insecure and offended and wounded every time you come in this door, because I guarantee you there will be someone to offend you, someone who won't quite say the right thing, someone's going to miss you, whatever will happen, I guarantee it. Your eyes have got to be on Jesus, and you've got to become a God pleaser, not a man pleaser. Because if you are a man pleaser and you come here looking for man to do something for you, you are going to be wrecked every single time. You will go out of that door broken and wounded and hurt. And you know what? God will make sure that you are. Now that might sound cruel. It might sound cruel to you. But the truth is, you are not to trust in man. God even says, and in the Word of God it says in Jeremiah 17, cursed is the person that trusts in another man. Even when good comes, they can't see it. So when you trust in a person to come through to you, your happiness is bent on a person doing something for you, even your husband or wife. You are looking for them to provide your happiness, your security. You are cursed, because God never intended for it to be that way. He intended for you to trust wholly and wholeheartedly in him. You are serving the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you are serving his people. And we have to get it from the heart. That verse again, Colossians 3, 23, 24, whatever you do, do it from the heart. I'll tell you, put up some own cautions in your own life. If you get offended quickly, if you get hurt, check your meter. You're looking to a person. If you get offended by your husband, you get hurt by your husband, check your meter. You're looking to him or her to provide something for you that God never intended you to do. And that scripture in Jeremiah goes on to say, curses the person that trusts in another person. Even when good comes, they can't see it. But then it goes on, and it tells you what the cursed person looks like. And I tell you, it's horrible. I don't want to go there because I've preached on that thing before. But those that trust in God, their roots are planted and they continually grow. It says even when the heat comes, even when disaster comes, even when troubles come, they hardly even notice. They keep growing because they're walking in their inheritance. They're walking in the authority of God. They're walking in the mind of Christ that is not on foolish things and on all those other things. They're walking in the mind and the heart of Jesus Christ that keeps them on the straight and narrow. Great peace have they that love his word, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing. If something offends you, then God's still working on you. Honestly, I'm saying this before God. If something offends me, then I need to check my heart, not what that person has done. Okay, I'm getting way off track here. It's a powerful scripture. It's a powerful scripture. Scripture isn't just something that we read and we should read it lightly. Scripture is powerful. It's the word of God. It's a two-edged sword that comes and cuts between my thoughts and my intentions and what is God's. And we need to allow it to have its perfect way in us. Don't do things from the heart, not for the praise or accolades from people. People are fickle. One day they're up, the next day they're down. And I'm saying that because I can be. If you do things from the heart and you are doing them to your God, your Father, the lover of your soul, you're not doing them for the praise of men. So when people don't pat you on the back, when they don't praise you, when they don't say anything to you at all, including criticism, even if they criticize you for what you've done, you didn't do it for them anyway. You did it for Jesus. And I'll tell you something, your heart will begin to grow and expand and be Godward when you can do that. When you do things for Jesus and not for people, you are protecting your heart from being wounded and broken. You really are. You're protecting your heart from being broken. Because I'll tell you, I became in the ministry like a few months after we were married. Broken, dysfunctional person. Both Mike and I were. I tell you, two dysfunctional people in together in a marriage, it's not a pretty sight. And then I became a pastor's wife. Mike got ordained. And I tell you, everybody wanted me to fit into a nice little pastor's wife box. And I should play the piano. And I am not a pastor's wife that plays the piano. I don't play any instrument. I play my CDs and I play the TV, but I do not play any instrument. In fact, I'm saying, yeah, I play soccer, Phoebe said. But I do not fit into any pastor's wife box. And you know what? I don't want to fit into any pastor's wife box. Because The first few years when I became a pastor's wife, I tried to fit into this box. I tried to be this way and that way and be a man pleaser, and you know, I should look a certain way. And so, you know, in those days we hardly had two pennies to scrape together. So I'd go to the Salvation Army and I'd look for good quality clothes, and I still go to the Salvation Army, I just want you to know. But I would look for good quality clothes, and then I would come and church and someone would say a comment like, "Boy, it must be nice to have money." But I got every kind of comment. But what was happening in me? God was doing something in me so that I could be free of people's opinions and what they thought about me. I needed to break out of the pastor's wife box. And in fact, I'm very claustrophobic, so I won't fit into any box you put me in. And if you try to put me in a box, I tell you, I'm coming out of there. I'm scrappy. Ask Mark, my son-in-law. Anyway, last night, I watched Star Wars with Mark and Ruth. Woohoo! Okay, now don't get offended, guys. Because I watched Star Wars and I heard God speak to me in Star Wars. If you're offended, there's the door. You can just go. And it was called The Force Awakens. Doesn't that just get you? The Force Awakens. I got my pen, and I'm sorry, it's just me. It's just one of those weird things about me. Every time if I'm watching something, listening to something, I take notes. And during that movie, it wasn't even hardly started, and I had 3 pages. By the end of it, I had 9 pages. We had to stop it a few times and rewind it, and I had to hear what they were saying. I went, oh my! Because now you got to realize that this is 9:30, and Mike isn't preaching, and I'm going to preach now. So I'm saying, God, you got to give me a word. And Mike said, hun, well, you know, maybe you should stay home. And I said, no, I had this appointment, so... You know, if God wants to speak to me, he can speak to me while I'm at this appointment. And 9 pages later, God spoke to me. And you get to hear what he said. The Force Awakens. The Force is the bride. She's awakening. She's pushing off the cobwebs. She's putting on her armor. She's standing up straight. She's planting her feet. Every one of you are putting on your armor. And you know what? My armor doesn't look like Tim's. It doesn't look like Mike's. It doesn't look like Phoebe's or Randy and Marlene's or anybody else's. And I remember Heather Lucier one time when we went to a ladies' retreat and we were talking about armor, and she wrote a song about the armor doesn't fit. And it was powerful because we try and take what somebody else did, or we try and copy how they preach, how they do something, and we put it on us and it won't fit. I tell you, if I put on anybody's clothes, the arms are like down to my ankles. You know, the t-shirts are way down, they don't fit. But I tell you, when I put on my armor that God gave me, the helmet fits, the sword fits in my hand really good, the belt fits around my waist, my feet are shod, is that what the word, with the gospel, I'm ready to go in my armor. And it's powerful. Church, the force of God is awakening in the church. We're past the lovey-lovey, just love everybody, peace and flowers. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be cynical, but we've gone through a whole era in the church where it was all about love and let's just love one another. And I'm not saying, don't hear what I'm not saying. Hear what I'm saying. It is about love. The Bible says the greatest thing is love. And we have to do this with love. all that I'm saying. If we don't do it with love, we're like a clanging cymbal, the Bible says. But we are a bride with army boots on. We are a bride that, just picture me in my white dress, my long wedding gown, and I've got army boots on, and I've got a belt around me. Okay, I sound like I should be a guy that's 6 feet tall right now. But anyway, get the picture. And you have a belt around your waist, and you've got the sword in your hand. I'll tell you, the force of God is awakening in me, and we have no more time to waste. We've wasted time. We've wasted hours. We've wasted hours on offenses and belittling people and discord and spreading discord. Church, it's enough. It's time to rise up in our God. It's time to put the sword in your hand and do battle for our God. This is our inheritance in God. When I watched that movie, I became unglued. I mean unglued. And you know what? I thought, oh, I am not a Star Wars fan. I'm just not. And Mark said, can you watch it? And I'll just about do anything Mark says. But anyway. But God gave me a message in that. And I saw so many aspects of what God wanted to do. I'm not saying if you watch the movie, you're going to get some spiritual message. It doesn't replace the Bible. But my eyes and my ears and my heart, I want always to be open to the voice of God speaking to me anywhere at any time. If I go out like we did with Ryan and Heather and we got decorations for the church when we first decorated and we were out the back here cutting down, I'm looking for God. I'm not looking so much that I'm not enjoying the moment. I'm enjoying the moment, but I'm looking. All creation speaks of the glory of God. All creation has a message about God. So it's not the movie. And don't go out of here and say, oh my goodness, that church, they're talking about Star Wars as being their new Bible. Like, I never said that. And if you say that, you're lying. And everybody else, you tell them that they're lying. I want to hear and receive what God has to say. I sit with a notebook and pen and I ask God to speak to me. Do you know why? After 30 years, 40 years of being with Mike and him preaching probably 75% of the time, I get something from his messages every single time. It's never old. It's never, I heard it before. I sit there with bated breath, and I'm waiting for the Holy Spirit to talk to me. I'm waiting for the Word of God. I'm sitting there, and I'm preparing my heart, saying, God, bring your Word and just let it go into good soil. Take away any thistles. Take away anything that's going to choke that Word out, God. I'm not looking around, boy, this is a good word for so-and-so. Man, so-and-so should be here. Oh, my goodness, I wish they were here. This word about offense is for them. But make it personal. Every word, doesn't matter who comes up here. I'm saying it doesn't matter who comes up here. If you want God, you should be listening to God through the person that God picked on that Sunday to be up here. Whoever leads the worship, oh, that's not my style. Well, then you just missed out on God touching you. Because you already decided, even before they led the worship, that you were not going to be blessed. Well, then sit there in your chair and don't be blessed. But I'm going to be. And I'm saying this, it sounds harsh, but church, that's what we do. Oh, they're preaching? Serious. If you want to be blessed, You can be blessed every single day of your life. You can be blessed every time you walk into this place. Not the sanctuary. This is not the sanctuary. You are the sanctuary. This is a gym. It's a hall. It's a place to rock and roll. I don't know. It's just a place. This is just a place. It's a sheep shed. You're the sanctuary, people. And every time you encounter another person, you can be blessed. Listen to them. Listen to what God has through them. Don't just be the one that talks all the time. Just listen. God's been saying that to me lately. I talk a lot. I'm sorry. I need to shut up and listen sometimes. I talk a lot. And God, quite a few times lately, has said, Mo, just listen. Just shut up and listen for a minute. He doesn't say shut up. He's way more gentle than that. But just, you know, sometimes we just run off at the mouth, and there's a treasure to be held in that person. And if we stop long enough, they have a great treasure and a gift to give us. Just remember that everything we watch, we read, and I mean everything we read that is written by some other man or woman, everything in capital letters must line up with the written word of God. The scriptures is the sure word of prophecy. It is where sound doctrine comes from. Not the greatest preacher, the greatest worship team, the greatest whatever. And I've heard people do this. They line up what they believe and they think by, I don't know, I can't think of examples. And I'm not saying this to be mean. They line up with Hillsong or Bethel or the greatest preacher or Tim Keller or anybody. I'm saying anybody. They're human beings and they are subject to fail and not get it right. Everything that you hear, you bring it to line it up with the Word of God. But if we look and listen anywhere at any time, God is speaking. People, family, my wonderful, wonderful rock community, who I love dearly, and I mean dearly, and you know that the last couple times I've shared, you have supported us through thick and thin to hell and back. I love you. But let's change how we live, how we walk day by day, how we encounter people, how we look at people. Do we always look with suspicion? Do we think the worst about them? Let's think the best about them. Let's look at them through the eyes of Jesus and what he would think about them. Let's see the God part in everything we do. There is a scripture that says, all things are for my benefit. When I got a hold of that scripture, it changed my life. Because in every situation that I came in after that, I thought, God, what do you want to speak to me through this? Whether I was offended with someone or someone was offended with me, God, what do you want to say to me through this? How can I change? How can I adjust? God, all things are for my benefit. So what do you want to say to me? God, change my heart. I'm tired of looking at the other person. What do you want to change in me, God? It means all things are for our benefit. Benefit. The passing of Leah into glory, celebrating her first Christmas in heaven, is for my benefit. I'm not going to add to the Word of God. or change the word of God. All things are for my benefit. And I'm going to live so that my benefit in Leah's passing will be done, and God's glory will be seen, and lives will be changed, and deliverance will come to people, and lives will be changed, and I will never, ever be the same again, because it's going to be for my benefit. I declare that today and tonight, everything that this church has gone through in the last couple years, church, it's for our benefit. It's to the praise of God. It's to our benefit. It's to God's glory. God has done it. We thought the enemy was doing it, but God has turned it for good in us. And the church is going to grow, and we're going to send people to all corners of the world. We are going to do the works of God. We are going to work the works of God. We are going to live in the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. We are not going to shrink back. We are not going to lay down. We're not going to roll over. Do you hear me, church? We're rising up in our God. Our God is King, and we are going to rule and reign with Him. I am not going to allow what's happened to me and in this church. If there's anything I can do in God, it is not going to happen. This church is not closing down. We're not closing our doors. In fact, we are going to grow. We're going to grow so much that we're going to hardly be able to stay in this place. I believe it before God. God is on the move. All God was doing was pruning. He was pruning. He was taking off some branches, and He's added some more branches. And God is going to have His say. God is building His church, and the gates of hell itself cannot prevail against it. That is our inheritance in God, church. Amen. Amen. I mean this. I'm saying this from my heart. I'm not just preaching. I'm not trying to get all riled up and, oh, whatever, and go away from here. And I don't mean what I said. I mean this. I've walked through this. I've walked through hell and back, and I am not giving up. I'm not rolling over. I am a creation of God. I am made in His image. He's given me His authority. We are going to see the sick healed. We are going to see the dead being raised in Christ. We're going to continue to pray for the sick. We are going to continue to pray for deliverance. We are going to see those who are tormented and who have depression and oppression. We are going to see them healed in Jesus' name. We are not going to stumble. We're not going to fall. We are going to continue to go forth in Jesus' name. And the rock that you saw in 2016 is not going to be the same in 2018. And the rock that you see in 2018 is not going to be the same in 2020. What do you have to say? Come.
Okay, so this week, I shared it in the prayer room, but during my prayer times this week, and I battled to even share this publicly, and so I can feel it as Mo's declaring things. I can feel the Spirit of God pressing on me in the back. So this week, I had this picture of this ginormous heart over top of the worship area, and it was both the shape of a heart and an atomic heart, and it was pulsing. And then I saw a sea of glass, and each and every one of us was standing on the sea of glass, and some of us were hiding our hearts, and some of us had opened our hearts and were surrendering our hearts to the Father's heart. And I saw as each individual, the ones that decided to surrender and to submit to the Spirit of God and to the Father's heart, as they opened their hearts up, I could see scars, broken hearts, some with dark spots inside of their hearts, scar tissue that hadn't fully healed properly. And as as that was happening, I continued to see the Father's heart pulsing for his bride, pulsing. I really sensed that the sea of glass is just like the purity and the innocence of the Spirit of God as we're standing on holy ground. And as the Father came, he started ministering to each and every heart and healing it. And then behind the heart, I saw an army of angels. There was an army of angels behind the heart of the Father, and they had these trumpets, and they were blasting through the church. And it's like Mo was saying, this is a building. We are the church of Terrace. So it's not just here, it is the entire community that God is doing this. And so I saw that the wisp of the Spirit coming out of the trumpet and ministering. So the ministering angels, the Spirit of God, and the Father was healing the hearts of men. And I just really felt to encourage everybody to open your hearts, to surrender your hearts, to not hide it. He can't heal you if your hearts are hidden off. But he can heal it if your hearts are exposed.
Good. Thank you, Christina. Thank you for that. Thank you for being obedient. Instead of, and I know I might step on some toes when I say this, but please hear my heart. Instead of rebuking and binding all the time, make sure that you're not rebuking something God himself is doing or allowing for your benefit, for mine. You need to hear what's God and what's not. I tell you, the devil gets a lot of credit for things that he doesn't do. Thank you. Kick him in the butt, Phoebe says. Okay. I believe the time I began to grow the most in my Christian walk was the time that I began to see that there is a God part to every equation of my life. Every equation. It can be tragedy, it can be difficulty, plus God, plus me, equals an awesome end. Instead of saying, why God? Why me? I don't deserve this. I've been a good girl. Look at all the wonderful things I've done for you. And we have our list for God of all the wonderful things that we do. And I'm saying that because that was me. Like, God, look at all I do. Rubbish. My foolish pride. Instead, begin to say, God, what do you have for me in this situation? I want to be teachable. Be teachable. But when you ask God to make you teachable, when someone comes along and God is teaching you something, receive what they have for you. Just because it might not always come in the package that you want, a husband, a wife, a child, an older person, maybe someone that you even have an offense with, is the package that God often will use to bring teaching to you, and what he does to me anyway. You know, I want to argue and be right in something in my marriage, and God is teaching me something, and you know how you're, you know, on the outside, you're bowing down, but on the inside, you're standing up. I want to be pliable on the potter's wheel. I want my heart to be soft in his hands. I want, when the word of God comes from any person or any source, to go into good soil so that it can produce 100-fold. You know, it's just like plants, and I did it this week with a plant that Ruth gave me. But soil sometimes, even when it's a good plant, the soil gets hard, and you have to stick something in it to aerate it so it can breathe, so it can get air, so it can get life. And sometimes we can get hardened and we don't even know what it is because we have blind spots. That's why we need to be tightly fit together with the body. So as we rub shoulders with people, and I'm not talking about going around and pointing out the worst in everybody. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about iron sharpening iron, and you gently entreat one another. You know, in fact, if you have a brash personality and you're hard, people won't receive what God gave you for them because of the vessel that it came in. So we also need to make our vessel a good vessel that when we go to people, we can say, is it a good time? Can I share something with you? We want good fruit, not fruit that's been picked too early and it's green, fruit that tastes bitter. But oh my goodness, the kind of fruit when you've been to Roy and Tina Beckley's place and you've had the plums on their tree when they're ripe. Oh, seriously. If none of you have tasted it, I was going to say just around, you know, when on harvest time, you should just go by his yard. No, I'm just kidding. That would be stealing. But you could ask Roy. You go there, and honestly, you pick these plums, and they just fall into your hand, and they're so sweet. Like, honestly, the juice just, it just runs down your chin, and it drools, and it's so good. That's what God wants the fruit of our life to be like. It's good. When people pick fruit from our life, it should be good fruit. It should taste good. It should be good. It should represent the Father. It shouldn't be joy that you look like you've been sucking on lemons. You need to have joy that's real joy. You know, I've got the joy of the Lord. And you look like, honestly, I thank you, Lord, that I didn't say what came to my mind. That's called discernment, Mark. Anyway, the movie is called The Force Awakens. I want to close here because I thought I'd be a lot shorter than this and other things have come to my mind. The movie is called The Force Awakens. There is a force at work all around us seeking your allegiance, seeking your attention. One is relentless in his love and pursuit of you to give you a future and a hope. The other force that goes around is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And there are people he is devouring, seeking whom he may devour. Some people have opened their life up because of bitterness, unforgiveness, and things in their life. This is the force of the enemy. He is also relentless in the pursuit of you to destroy you. He is ruthless, unjust, and he is out to keep you from your inheritance at all costs. He's not polite. He's not fair. He doesn't care who you are or what you are or what you do. But his mission is to destroy you, your family, your loved ones, your marriage, and your church, our church. It's true. I'm not trying to be spooky and scary because I've told you about our authority in God. But you need to know who your adversary is. You need to know what he sounds like. Well, actually, you need to know what God sounds like. If you know what God sounds like, what he looks like, what he feels like, that it feels like God, you don't even have to know what the enemy's like because you'll just know right away as soon as he comes. This isn't God-like. He may not be able to get you, but he will try destroying our families and those we love right in front of our eyes. And then he will cripple us with unforgiveness, criticalness, self-righteousness, judgment, revenge, bitterness, and on it goes. So often, the thing doesn't even happen to us. It can happen to our spouse, our friend, our children, and we become so bitter. But you have to realize the enemy's intent was to destroy you. If he can, he will take you out by making you so offended and crippled that you become ineffective to the kingdom of God. Because you're sitting in a corner and you're licking your wound and you won't let anybody come near you. It's time, family. It's time, Rock Christian Community. Pick up your sword, dust yourself off, strengthen your feeble knees, stand up straight, wipe the tears from your eyes, because we are putting on all of our own armor, no one else's. The sword is in our hand and our armor is on. And we are heading for our inheritance. Do you agree, church? We're heading for our inheritance. Are you coming? I'm asking each one of you, are you coming? Are your children coming? Are you going to head towards your inheritance? Do you want to be part of running forward with us? Amen. I hope you are. You individually have to decide if you are going to run towards your inheritance. We have giants to slay, enemies to defeat, land to be taken, and land to be taken back that was stolen. I will not give up. I will not lay down. I was born to be a bride warrior, and I accept my call. You were born to be a warrior, men and women and children. We are at war. Teach your children to fight. Teach them what the enemy sounds like and what God sounds like and their authority in Christ, in their dreams and their fears and everything. Teach them about God, because you won't always be there, but God will always be there. The enemy hates your guts, and it's time to stand up and say, that's enough. We hate his guts. Enough in my family, enough in my life, enough in my thoughts, in my insecurities, in my pride. There is no room for it. I'm going to walk forward in my inheritance. I am going forward in 2018. And whew, I can't wait to see what God has for me. Family and community of the Rock, let this be a year. By the end of 2018, we can come and meet, lay our victories, our spoils, our battles that are bloody and costly, our rewards at the feet of Jesus, our victor, our mighty warrior who is always dressed for battle. And we will leave them at the feet of Jesus for his glory and his alone. God's force has awakened in me, and something has happened to me through the death of my daughter. And in his name, in the name of Jesus, he is mighty to deliver. He's never lost a battle yet, and he never intends to. I'm on the right side. I'm on the winning side. He has conquered every enemy. He has defeated hell itself. He has gone into the deepest parts of hell and brought those captive into his captivity. He took the keys to death and destruction, and he arose from the grave victorious. This has become our inheritance, our future, our hope. There is nothing we need to be afraid of, not even death itself. Where is your sting? The enemy thought that he could sting me so bad in the death of my daughter that I would lay down and never serve God again. But I tell you, he's got another thought coming, because it's made me twice as mad. There is nothing to be afraid of, not even death itself. To the believer, it's the best thing we can look forward to, the most awesome thing. In fact, the Bible says, better is the day of your death than the day you were born, the day of your birth. When I am absent from the body, I am present, capital P, capital R, capital E, capital S, capital N-T, if I spelled that right, E-N-T, present with the Lord. Well, I'm leaving my body. I'm present with the Lord. He's right beside me. He's with me. Because that used to be a fearful thing. But he's with me before, he's with me while I'm leaving, and then he's right there, fully there, and I'm in his glory. I'm safe and secure from all harm and affliction. Who wouldn't want that? Why would you rebuke that? That's our inheritance. Our final inheritance is heaven itself. The glory of God. Leah, it's not a mistake. She's dancing and singing like she never has before. A non-Christian had a dream about her and sent it to me. And I will have to share it with you sometime because I'm going to meet her this week for coffee and share her with her about God's dreams. Like so much is happening. I'm sorry. I'm just, I got to control myself. Where am I here? I'm amazed at people's hesitant to receive the greatest gift that God could give them. The gift of salvation freely given to all. It says he isn't willing that any should perish. His heart and his love for whosoever will can come. And drink. Come and eat. Come and be full. It's free. It's a free gift of God. From the beggar to the rich man, from the young to the old, no matter what nationality, color, or race, or religion, or lifestyle you come from, God offers you a free gift of salvation paid by his son Jesus by going to the cross, by taking every one of your sins upon himself, your punishment. What you and I deserved was paid 100% in full by the blood of Jesus Christ. Freely given by the love of his Father. The ransom was paid so that every one of us can come into his presence. Every one of us. Darkness is gone. Addiction can be gone. Insecurity can be gone. Private addictions can be gone. God is calling us out of the prisons of oppression and depression where the enemy has kept us captive because of believing lies. He is called the father of lies. But Jesus is the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Let's go for it, church. 2018 is going to be different.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to share this message with others, but please do not alter or change it in any way without express written consent from the Rock Christian Community.